Because my eyes have seen thy salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Canons, dear sisters, dear faithful. Thus said the old man Simeon, when he saw the long-awaited Messiah. What joy filled his heart, because now, with the eyes of his flesh, he sees the Word of God made flesh. This great feast day is filled with much to contemplate, but for tonight's Mass, I will focus on the aspect of sacramentals and the symbolism of the procession of tonight. Today is the last day of Christmas, and we hear again those words so solemnly proclaimed at the first Mass of the Nativity. For through the mystery of the Word made flesh, the new light of thy glory hath shone upon the eyes of our mind, so that while we acknowledge God in visible form, we may through him be drawn to the love of things invisible. The incarnation of the Son of God means that what was invisible is now visible, and that was unperceivable by our senses is now most tangible to us. We see his face, we hear his voice. The grace he won for us also comes to us through visible signs. Sanctifying grace comes to us through the seven sacraments, and many actual graces come to us through the sacramentals, because God uses what is tangible to us for our salvation. Now, seeing that the fact that he uses visible signs for invisible grace, as we learn that as the definition of sacraments by the Baltimore Catechism, we see that God, by it's an extension of his incarnation, where the invisible God now becomes visible to us. And so all those graces which before we don't know if we have received, because they are invisible, we cannot feel them, taste them, touch them, or see them. But now through these visible signs instituted by Christ, we can know for sure that that sanctifying grace has come into our souls. So that when we see a child being baptized, we know that original sin truly is being washed away by that sign, that visible sign of the washing and the invocation of the Most Holy Trinity. That when we go to confession, we know our sins truly are forgiven because we hear those words of pardon pronounced by the priest. And that during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the priest truly changes bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, which we do not see with our eyes, but we know by the words and the power that Christ has given to priests that that truly takes effect. And so we know that when we receive those sacraments, we receive at the same time, if worthily disposed, that sanctifying grace that elevates us, makes us all the more inflamed with divine charity, love of God, and of course, makes us heirs of the kingdom of heaven. But we also know that through Christ, his church has instituted to us various sacramentals. They also impart grace to our souls, but not in the same manner in which sacraments do. Sacraments automatically, in a certain way, by the mere fact that they are accomplished, give grace, as long as the recipient is disposed for it. Whereas the sacramentals impart grace to us primarily through the disposition of those who use them. And the church has many sacramentals for our use, the most greatest of them being holy water, and then the palms blessed on Palm Sunday, and then also candles, which we bless tonight. And so by using these visible things, we may be disposed all the more for grace, particularly actual graces. We might have heard of different stories of those who might have been converted through sacramentals such as the rosary or the wearing of the brown scapular or the receiving of the green scapular. And so God, by the power and in mediation of the church, who blesses and sanctifies those objects, that what that blessing the church places upon them might be effective for the souls who receive that item and who use it with good dispositions. And so tonight we think primarily of candles, since that is what has just been blessed. And we see that in the prayer of the church tonight, that the certain spiritual power is given to that object made from beeswax with a wick used to light our homes. In the second prayer, we say, these candles which we, thy servants, desire to receive and to bear lighted in the honor of thy holy name, that by offering them to thee, our Lord God, being worthily inflamed with the holy fire of thy most sweet charity, we may deserve to be presented in the holy temple of thy glory. In other words, that light remind us of the light of Christ, and of course that light that will be forever and intense in heaven. In the third prayer, it is said that as these lights enkindled with visible fire dispel the darkness of night, so our hearts illuminated by invisible fire, that is, by the splendor of the Holy Spirit, may be free from the blindness of all vice, that the eye of our mind being cleansed, we may be able to discern what is pleasing to thee and profitable to our salvation, so that after the perilous darkness of this life, we may deserve to attain to never-failing light. And so it is that candle will dispel the darkness of minds, the darkness of the evil spirits who try to tempt us and lure us into darkness. Now, seeing that candles are blessed during tonight, what is the symbolism and signification of the use of candles in the procession? Well, of course, like many processions, it reminds us mystically that we are not yet in our promised land. Much like that great procession that took place at the Exodus, when the people of Israel being led out of Egypt by Moses and following that column of fire, that divine presence going towards the Holy Land. So each procession that we do in the church reminds us that we are going towards our finality, going towards our final end, which is, of course, God and heaven. And so the carrying of candles means that while we are in this life, on that pilgrimage towards eternal life, that we must be vigilant with the fire. We can think of the vigilance of the five wise virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins that our Lord gave. That we must be ever ready with the lit lamp, ready to greet the bridegroom. It also reminds us that we must have our minds and hearts enlightened by Christ's teaching and by his grace. And that by having a lit candle that we give witness to Christ in this world. The other aspect of the procession tonight is its penitential aspect. The sacred ministers do not wear white for this, but instead wear violet. And the deacon and subdeacon don't wear the tunic and dalmatic vestments of joy, but instead the folded chasubles, that of tears and of penance, to remind us that we must have a penitential spirit while we're walking in this world, that in order to prepare for heaven, we must humble ourselves before the divine majesty, that we must be repentant of our sins, that we must beg and implore the goodness of his grace to come into our hearts, to sustain us as we walk on that path that has many pitfalls, many treacherous steps that we could slip up into while in this life. And so to be assured that we walk firmly in the way of Christ, we need that help of grace. And of course, grace comes to the humble, and so we must ever humble ourselves before God, admitting our own weakness, our own insufficiencies, and to implore all the more that grace so that we might be strengthened not by ourselves who are weak, who cannot help ourselves, but instead strengthened by God and his grace, he who can do all things. And so as we contemplate the presentation of our Lord in the temple tonight, and of course the signification of the procession tonight, let us renew our desires to see Christ in heaven, to live a life that will make us worthy for that place of eternal glory. And of course, making that renewal of our commitment to that, to reject all sin and temptation, to strive to make good resolutions, that truly as we celebrate the purification, that we strive to be purified each day in view of our eternal homeland in heaven. And so let us strive with the light of Christ in our hands to walk firmly and humbly in the way that he has given to us, the way that leads towards eternal life. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.